بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in last night's Taraweeh we commenced with Surah Al-Furqan, which we continued with in tonight's Taraweeh. And this surah is named after the Qur'an. One of the names of the Qur'an is Al-Furqan. This word in Arabic, Al-Furqan, refers to that which differentiates, separates, makes a distinction between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood, between what is correct, what is incorrect. So this surah is named after the Qur'an itself. And today's date, as we know, after Maghrib, it is now the 18th of Ramadan. But today was the 17th of Ramadan, which was the occasion of the Battle of Badr. And this also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ. Allah speaks about the day of Badr and calls it the day of Furqan. So the very same word is used, is the day of Badr was a day which differentiated between haqq and batil. At the end, when the dust settled and the casualties were then seen, who was victorious, who was defeated, then it became clear which side was upon haqq, the people of Islam, the people of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which side was on batil, was on falsehood, was incorrect, which were the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah. Nevertheless, in this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of good company, of having good, pious, righteous friends, and not just something which is restricted to one's youth, or one's younger years, but this is something which continues as a person becomes older. In fact, right up until old age, the necessity of good company, of having righteous friends. So here the incident has been mentioned of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, which we've mentioned before also. He was a kafir, he was living in Makkah Mukarramah, and on one occasion he hosted a dawat, he had a meal, and he invited the prominent people of the Quraysh, and amongst them was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he had now started to invite people towards Islam, towards Tawheed, but he was still known as one of the prominent ones from amongst the Quraysh, from amongst the Makkans. So Uqba invited him as well. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the invitation, he says to Uqba that I will accept your invitation as long as you recite the kalima. You bring iman and then I will accept your invitation and I will come for your da'wat. Uqba didn't want to accept Islam, but because of the social pressure, he didn't want it to be such that his da'wat, his gathering, did not have Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam present, because he felt that later on people would speak and say that you threw a gathering, you threw a meal, and so was not present, these prominent people did not come. So in order to secure Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's presence, he recited the kalima, and outwardly he accepted Islam. His friend, Ubay bin Khalaf, who was one of the staunch enemies of Islam, of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard of this, he then goes to Uqba and he says to him very angrily that how dare you renounce the deen of your forefathers and how dare you renounce idol worship. So Uqba explained himself to him that I just said this to please Muhammad because I wanted his presence at my gathering and I didn't really mean what I said. So Ubay bin Khalaf was not satisfied with this. He says to him, no, I will not believe what you are saying until you go and tell him to his face. Go to Muhammad and say to his face that you renounce his deen, and furthermore, you disgrace him in some way. Uqba didn't want to do this, but because of the pressure from his friend, he goes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says to him, I renounce your faith, and then this wretched person spits on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. Allah says, think of the day when this oppressive person will be biting onto his hands. This is generally what a person does when he is immensely regretful, remorseful over what he has done. يَقُولُ, referring to the day of Qiyamah, he will be biting onto his hands. And he will then make the statement, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. If only I had followed the path of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he will lament and say, يَا وَيْلَتَ لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. He will say, destruction be to me, woe be to me, if only I did not take so and so as my close friend. In other words, if only I did not befriend Ubay bin Khalaf. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He misled me, he took me astray After the reminder had come to me, after Islam came to me, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا, Allah says, remember, shaitan will always forsake insan. Shaitan will make promises, and he'll promise you izzat, honor, respect, but when it comes the crunch time, he will always forsake insan. He will not be there to deliver on his promises. In the very same way, Ubay bin Khalaf, who stood by his friend's side in dunya, he will not be there to save him on the day of Qiyamah. So this is the importance of keeping good company, having righteous friends. Thereafter, moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very important concept which Islam denounces and is totally against, and that is what is known as hedonism. In today's time, we find this is a very common thing which is found amongst people, especially amongst the West. Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ, have you seen that person who made his desires his deity? He made his desires his God. And this is the definition of hedonism, which is, simply put, the pursuit of pleasure. At all costs, a person pursues that which will give him pleasure in this world, and that which will avoid difficulty, avoid any pain coming to him. Whether it be physical pleasure, whatever type of pleasure it may be, but he makes this the goal and objective of his life. And he does not bother about the consequences. When it comes to, as an example, drug addiction, all the person is worried about is that fix. He wants to feel that pleasure, or whatever it is that goes through his body at that time, and he doesn't care about the consequences, the harm that it's bringing to him, the harm that it's bringing to those around him. It is just that single-minded pursuit of temporary pleasure. So Allah says, have you seen that person who took his desires as his God? He followed his desires, regardless of the consequences. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا, Allah says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, will you stand as guarantee for him? Are you going to fight on his behalf on the day of Qiyamah? This person is completely misguided. He is completely astray. When it comes to the deen of Islam, how do we fight this particular concept of hedonism? We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, and this is found throughout the Quran, about a greater level of pleasure. And that is spiritual pleasure, ruhani pleasure. Where a person might outwardly be going through some difficulty, it is not easy to stand for Taraweeh Salah, a person's feet begin to pain, he becomes tired, his eyes start to close, he's thinking of the dessert at home. But the spiritual pleasure and satisfaction that it brings to a person, we spoke this morning about contentment, that feeling that goes through a person when he pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no amount of physical pleasure can ever equate to this. And we find the objection that is made against Islam is that this is a religion that robs you of all pleasure. It wants you to always be in hardship, in difficulty. You've got to pray 5 times a day, and you've got to give zakat, and your hajj is so difficult, and there's so many restrictions, there's gender segregation, and all of these limitations in your deen. In reality, ulama explain, mufassirin explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have the highest level of happiness and pleasure, but Allah knows that this can only be found in the akhirat, in Jannah. In this world, no amount of bounties, blessings can ever truly fill a person's heart, can never make a person completely happy, completely satisfied. Allah wants us to limit ourselves here so that we can gain true happiness and pleasure in the akhirat. So this important concept is denounced, is condemned, that a person should never make his desires his God and his deity. Moving on towards the end of the surah, Allah speaks about the qualities of the special slaves of Allah. Last night we spoke about the base qualities of a believer, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that which a person requires as a bare minimum to be counted as a true believer. Here Allah speaks about one level higher than this, those who are the special slaves of Rahman, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, and various attributes that have been mentioned here. Very quickly we'll just translate them. The first attribute Allah says, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, when they walk in the earth, then they walk with humility. So they do not have arrogance, they do not have pride. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, and whenever any ignorant people try to engage with them, then they say to them, salam. They turn away from them, they give them a kind word, and they do not engage with them. They do not bother about debating them, about arguing with them, because they understand that these people will not accept the truth. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا, they spend the night in sajda, in qiyam, in salah. In other words, when they have completed with their tasks, their obligations for the day, In their free time, they devote this to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they make this dua, رَبَّ نَصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ, that, oh Allah, turn away from us the punishment of Jahannam. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. Allah speaks about their expenditure. They are not extravagant, neither are they miserly. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. When it comes to their spending, then they adopt moderation. They spend enough to take care of their needs, their family members, their dependents. They keep them comfortable, but they do not become extravagant. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخر. They do not ascribe partners to Allah. They do not take the lives of others unjustly. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They do not commit fornication. Then moving on, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They do not give false testimony. In other words, if they are called to testify in a certain matter, then they ensure that they speak the truth. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And when they pass by any futility, then they pass by with their heads held high, with nobility, with dignity. They do not involve themselves in futility. When they are reminded of the signs of their Rabb, then they do not turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to this. They take heed when they hear the ayat of Quran. And they make this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Allah concludes these attributes by mentioning this dua, that they say, oh Allah, grant us the coolness of our eyes in our spouses and in our progenies. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us the imams of the muttaqeen, the leaders of the muttaqeen. In other words, and make us have a very high level of taqwa, and then also cool our eyes in our spouses and our children. Just one very interesting incident, we'll terminate on this. There were a group of people sitting with Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And a person passed by and he began to praise Miqdad radiallahu anhu. He says to him that, blessed be those eyes that whose gaze fell upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that body that was present in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he says, how I wish I was also present and I also saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and lived in his time. So when this person says this, Miqdad radiallahu anhu becomes angry. So somebody asked him, oh Miqdad, he spoke good words and he praised you. Why did you become angry, upset? Miqdad radiallahu anhu explains, he says that, don't think it was easy in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah sent his Nabi at a very challenging time, where the most beloved thing to people were their idols. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came with al-furqan, with the criterion, that which will judge between haqq and batil. He says that the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was such that it caused separation between father and son, between husband and wife, between children and parents. And then he explains this particular verse. What is meant by qurrata a'yun? He says that a person would accept Islam. He would accept the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would see, witness in front of him his own child or his own spouse rejecting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, how do you think that person would find the coolness of his eyes in his family when he knows that if their eyes close tomorrow, they will go to the fire of Jahannam? And then he recited this particular dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. So based on this riwayat, two things ulama say. One is, we should be careful, we make statements, how I wish I was a sahabi, I wish I lived in that time, it would have been so easy, I would have seen Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, one is to desire his company, to desire looking at his Mubarak countenance, but it does not mean that we would have had the strength to accept Islam. Allah knows best with our own weakness, whether we would have accepted or rejected Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the second lesson we learn from here, what is meant by coolness of the eyes in our family, in our children, in our spouses, is that they become muttaqeen, that they have iman, that they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true coolness of the eyes. This is when a person becomes happy, when he sees his progeny, his wife, his family members, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.